used Pinstripe Bowl tickets the Hawkeyes are going to be sitting on. 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Well, it's New York City itself. I think you have Rockefeller Center, you have the One World Trade, the Freedom Tower, you have Central Park, you have the subway, you have restaurants.
Ooh, restaurants. That's Bowl Guy yesterday at Carver Hawkeye Arena. I don't even know what his name is. Bowl Guy was in town from the Pinstripe Bowl. Welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn, Kyle Mann, our producer on the other side of the glass. He'll get you up till 7 o'clock tonight. Now, don't get confused, though. I know Cedar Rapids folks were very excited when he heard restaurants and Subway, but he's actually talking about something other than the sandwich shop. Although,
I think they have plenty of chain restaurants in New York City as well.
Look, I'm not proud of this, but I've gone to New York City before and eaten at a TGI Fridays. I'll cop to it. A very expensive TGI Fridays. And the ESPN Zone. I don't know whether ESPN's even still in the bar business or not. That was a long time
ago. It's not in Chicago. I know that. We used to go to that one all the time, and it is gone, that ESPN Zone. And let me ask you this: Why does the and I think it's a great thing to visit, but that the World Trade Center Memorial thing comes up second on everybody's list? Is that kind of a note that was given out by the Bowl to bring up as the number two thing on the attractions list when you're going to the Pinstripe Bowl?
I think at this point they could tell people there's a briefcase filled with $5 million that they could find if they showed up, and they'd have a hard time selling tickets to the Pinstripe Bowl. But we're going to talk a little bit about that today because somebody asked last week, hey, what's the update on the Pinstripe ticket sales? And we hadn't gotten one until yesterday before the Iowa Southern basketball game. And let's just say the update isn't good. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, is going to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Iowa State, much like Iowa, had an easy go of it yesterday, although Iowa State got off to a little bit of a sluggish start. Hawkeyes had spurts where they didn't look that great either, but in the end, Iowa State winds up winning by 20 points. Iowa pulls away from Southern and wins by 29. Mac McCausland will be with us at 5 o'clock today. He'll talk Hawkeye basketball. We are going to talk about Giancarlo Stanton on the move to the New York Yankees, of all places. And no, he has nothing to do with the Pinstripe Bowl, other than the fact that I knew we were going to be talking about pinstripes today. I just didn't know that we were going to be talking about somebody wearing them. Fascinating deal. And you asked a great question earlier. How does somebody that doesn't have the money to buy a major league team get approved to buy a major league team? But that's what happened here with the Marlins, and they made priority numero uno getting rid of Giancarlo Stanton's massive contract. He said he didn't want to go to the Cardinals or the Giants because they weren't ready to win. And when we do get around to this discussion in hour number two, I want to know what Cardinals fans in particular think of that statement that that team isn't ready to win right now, because I think I disagree with that a little bit. Plenty more to get to today as well. The phone number as well as the Hertin and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. We've got some MMA tickets to give away this week on the program. You've been hearing the commercials for the upcoming bouts. They don't like to call them fights, right? They're bouts. They're bouts.
They are technically bouts, yes.
Plenty more to get to today on the program as well. Josie Jewell and Josh Jackson today earning consensus All-American honors, which is when you have, I believe, at least three media outlets name you an All-American. At that point, you become a consensus All-American, and it's time to commission new portraits for the Iowa football complex. If you're unaware, they put a very nice oil painting of all of the All-Americans, a headshot. It's actually in the room where they hold the weekly news conferences with Kirk Ferentz. Just according to research, and I say research, but I saw this on Twitter, and that's what accounts for 98% of people's research nowadays. I wish I was in school now, like high school and college, and people are using Wikipedia and stuff as sources.
Yeah, like
I never
MLA
got that
MLA format instead of the publication. You just say twitter.com.
I never got to use that. But somebody on Twitter did a little digging, and I have no reason to doubt the veracity of this, but it's just the fifth time that Iowa has had multiple consensus All-Americans in the same season. Couple Rose Bowl teams, an Outback Bowl team, and a Pinstripe Bowl team. I don't want to disparage the Pinstripe Bowl any more than it already has been disparaged, but they had the trophy there at Carver-Hawkeye Arena yesterday. And granted, the arena itself wasn't very full. I know they listed 11,397 on the box score. That was tickets sold. There couldn't have been 8,500 people at Carver-Hawkeye Arena yesterday. Not that I'm a great estimator of crowds. I could never work for the National Park Service. But they had the Pinstripe Bowl on the concourse on a table, unattended, which I thought was hilarious. And
not even glass around the trophy or anything, just sitting on a table?
Yeah.
Did it have a rope around it, maybe?
It had the little, you know, like if they're trying to keep you in line for if you were lining up to get into
like that'll stop somebody.
A store on Black Friday or something. Exactly. Like, there wasn't even, like, when we go to Big Ten Media Day and the Dr. Pepper National Trophy is there, there's always the guy there, the stern-looking guy that's like, and there's a sign that says, don't touch the trophy.
Touch.
And the guy will, I used to have a co-host, my former co-host, who made it his mission in life. He wanted to touch the trophy just to see how much trouble he could get in, and I don't think he ever did it. There wasn't even one of those people standing next to the trophy saying, don't touch it. You probably could have picked it up and tossed it back and forth and played catch with it yesterday, and no one would have. There were like three people. Actually, if you follow me on Twitter at Todd Brommelkamp, you know I took a picture of, and I didn't even realize what I was taking a picture of. I was trying to make it a picture of just a handful of people standing around looking at the trophy, just to show that there wasn't a whole lot of interest in it. And I got back, people started responding to the picture. I got a guy mid-lick on an ice cream cone, which I to this day, it blows my mind that one of the major draws of an Iowa basketball game is a soft serve ice cream cone, but they remain ever popular. But now it's
more popular than the Pinstripe Bowl trophy?
Here's the deal on this, and if you followed along for years, you know that these bowl games are just, they get the schools on the hook for a number of tickets. You've got a guarantee, we'll take this much of your ticket inventory. For Iowa, it's 7,500 tickets to the Pinstripe Bowl. Now, you're going to the Rose Bowl, 7,500 tickets, no problem. Outback Bowl, usually not a problem. 7,500 tickets. Iowa officials said yesterday that they have 2,200 of the 7,500 accounted for as to being in use. That's not good, and it gets worse when you get inside the 2,200 that are spoken for, because every football player gets six tickets. And then you've got the university administrators and the band and the travel party, and when you start paring down all of those, Iowa admitted yesterday they've sold, as in taken in cash for, about 1,000 tickets. Now, you know this as well as I do. You go to a bowl game, the worst thing that you can do is buy the tickets from the school, because they're usually not that great. And people learn this with the Outback Bowl, Raymond James Stadium, the tickets that they would allot to the schools were upper deck, corners, bad seats. So you usually learn that lesson one time when you go to a bowl game. First time you ever go, you buy the tickets through the school. You think, oh man, this is great. I'm buying from the school. They're going to be awesome seats.
And the school guilt trips you almost every time.
Exactly, because, hey man, help us out. We're on the hook for
it's
these 7,500. Exactly. And so you do that one time, and then moving forward, you StubHub it, or you buy straight from the bowl. I don't know what the attendance is going to look like on December 27th, but I do know this. There aren't a whole lot of people climbing over one another to get to the ticket office to buy tickets from the university. Now, a number of Hawkeye fans that are going to be at that game, they're going to be from the Northeast Corridor. They're going to be living and working in Manhattan, New York City. But as far as people taking that trip out there, and I know, you know, you always had a sinking suspicion. You kind of knew why there wasn't an update on how ticket sales were going. But we're pretty deep into this, and they've sold 1,000 tickets.
It's kind
of... And this
of
is how the bowl system works. The bowl system is set up, and it puts the schools on the hook. Now, they get money from the Big Ten. There's a travel stipend, and the Big Ten pools all of the bowl money that it gets, and it slices it into 15 pieces, one for each school, and of course, a piece for the Big Ten itself. And so that part doesn't really matter, and Iowa's probably going to wind up making a little money on this once you get that taken into account. But the fact that they are on the hook for 7,500 tickets, they've sold 1,000, and if you factor in the 1,200 that are in use or spoken for, freebies, gimmies, whatever you want, that's a ton of inventory that they're still going to be responsible for cutting a check for.
Now, like you were just talking about it, we were talking about this earlier in the sports office about bowl games and especially whether the difference between the Power 5 and the non-Power 5. Non-Power 5, a lot of those schools struggle to pay for the expenses of going to a bowl game like the Pinstripe Bowl because it costs so much in travel and stay, and the conference doesn't have the money to reimburse them. Luckily for Iowa, you said that the Big Ten Conference would reimburse them for the expenses, or at least some of them?
$2.225 million stipend that Iowa gets. So, and that's part of the Pinstripe Bowl contract, and I think it's because I think the Big Ten knew that it's getting into this arrangement with the New York Yankees who put this bowl game on, and that it's a lower tier bowl game. It's not exactly marquee, and people aren't going to be... I would be really curious to know how many Hawkeye fans would have been at the Music City Bowl versus will be at the Pinstripe Bowl. Because I think, and this may be part of the problem, I think a lot of people had their hearts set on the Music City Bowl. And once that didn't happen, it was like, okay, where? New York City? A couple days after Christmas? No, thank you. And somebody came up to me at the basketball game yesterday and said, those people can spend thousands of dollars if they want. I'm going to sit at home on the couch in the heat and watch the game on TV. There's no incentive to look. Most people, when it's going to a bowl game, it's as much about a family vacation or a vacation for themselves away from work as it is the actual football game. You get to go to Tampa, you go to Clearwater Beach and Beach Day and the original Hooters and all that, which, by the way, is a chain, so very popular with Iowans. And have you been to the original Hooters?
I have been to one in Clearwater, but it's, I don't think it was the original one.
Yeah, it's no great shakes. But anyway, you don't get that with New York City. There's no beach day. It's probably going to be colder there than it will be here. At least the temperature is going to be close to the same. This is just an all around miserable setup for Iowa.
Well, yeah, and especially for a program that goes to as many bowl games as Iowa does. And when you usually see Iowa in a bowl game, you see them in a football stadium, like you talked about, a lot of times in a warm climate against a top-of-the-line opponent, or maybe not necessarily a top-of-the-line opponent, but an above-average opponent where you can get excited for some aspect of the bowl game. What aspect of this bowl game is anybody excited about? 319-366-1600. They're just logistically and from an on-field standpoint, it just seems like there's nothing for fans to sink their teeth into. And that's a problem right now for this athletic department. Like I said earlier, if this is a team from a non-Power 5 conference that hasn't been to a bowl game in a while, I can see the sell of saying, okay, well, you get to go to New York City and experience that and play in Yankee Stadium. against another non-Power 5 opponent, and they'd be excited about that. But this is Iowa that has been to a lot of bowl games and is used to going to better bowl games than this. And I saw someone on Twitter when the bowl games were released saying that Iowa fans are going to flood New York City.
Stuart Mandel.
And somebody replied very quickly, like, nah, not going to happen.
I think that was Scott Docterman from the Land of Ten.
I believe
it was,
if
I recall
as well.
Correctly. And that was my first response as well when I saw that. No, they're not. But there are, they estimate 20,000 alums living and working in New York City and the surrounding area. And this is an opportunity. This is the sales pitch. I felt like I wasn't walking out of Carver Hawkeye Arena without owning a piece of a timeshare somewhere. Like, I mean, it was hardcore sales pitch yesterday, the bowl reps. 20,000 people. It's a great chance for Iowa to reconnect with them. The university,
they have cookies available
for
everybody.
You would have thought that the Yankees and the Steinbrenner family were doing Iowa the biggest favor by having them in this bowl game. Meanwhile, Iowa's on the hook for 5,000 plus tickets to this game, and there's no way they sell them. None.
No.
319-366-1600. We're talking about this because there's not much you can talk about from the basketball games yesterday. Iowa State got off to a slow start against Alcorn State. Lindell Wigginton continues to look really good. And then in Iowa City, Luka Garza goes to the bench and comes off the bench in 19 minutes to record a double-double. 23 points, 13 rebounds. And maybe Fran McCaffrey's found a little something here as far as chemistry goes. With the starting lineup yesterday, he used Isaiah Moss and Jordan Bohannon, and then the three forward lineup of Nicholas Baird, Tyler Cook, and Jack Nungy. Nungy, sort of the de facto center there in that lineup. Hawkeyes looked good. It was against a team that was 2-8. So take that for what it's worth. And now it's finals week, which is absolutely terrible because nothing ever happens during finals week. It's one of the slowest times of the year. And so there's not even any basketball to talk about until the Hy-Vee Classic on Saturday. Iowa draws Drake. Iowa State gets UNI. You and I were talking about, you and I were talking about UNI and Iowa State in the office earlier today. And what a great matchup that's going to be. We got to wait until Saturday to get there, though.
Yeah, that is going to be fun. I think that UNI could be the best basketball team in the state right now, just based off of the way that they play and their experience. They're going to be a very difficult matchup for a young Iowa State team. My question is, the Hy-Vee Classic will be played in Des Moines. How many people are going to be there for the Drake-Iowa game? Is this going to be like a couple years ago when those four teams, the same matchups consisted of the Hy-Vee Classic, and there were about 1,000 people for the first game?
Here's my deal with it. It draws well.
It does.
But the fans from the first game don't stick around for the second game. And the fans that are there for the second game, they don't show up necessarily for the first game. And you can't blame anybody for that. There's no sell in getting an Iowa State fan to sit in the stands and watch Iowa Drake, especially when you've already played and beaten Iowa. It's not like, hey, let's see what the Hawks have this year, because that game's in the rearview mirror. If you could somehow make it so that everybody who had a ticket was in the arena for both games, I think the atmosphere wouldn't suffer as much as it did as it does. But we've got that to look forward to. We've also got Brandon in Cedar Rapids wants to talk about the Pinstripe Bowl. Brandon, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So earlier you guys were talking about the not-so-attractiveness of the Pinstripe Bowl. I got quite a few friends that are from Iowa that actually live in or around the city because of jobs, and they're not even excited about Iowa going to the Pinstripe Bowl. I spoke to them this week, and I said, so, you get to go to a bowl game there right in your backyard, and they couldn't even say any one good word about it.
It's a tough sell. I appreciate the input, Brandon. It is a very tough sell.
In the middle of the workday?
Yeah, actually, 5:15. Yeah,
towards the end of the workday.
And we all know travel in New York City is super easy at 5:15 Eastern time.
Ugh.
A lot for that, by the way, if you're making your way to Yankee Stadium. I've got a couple friends that live and work in New York City. The bowl game got announced. I reached out to one of them, a good friend from college, and we've grown apart over the years. That just everybody knows that that happens. It's the natural progression of life. I reached out on Facebook and I said, "Hey, I'm going to be in your neck of the woods. Iowa's playing in the Pinstripe Bowl." And his response was, "I saw that. What's the Pinstripe Bowl?" I go, "Okay, well, you know, it's not the Rose Bowl, but yeah, I'm going to be out there. So hopefully we can reconnect and maybe grab a cocktail or two." If I said right now that I could get you out to New York City and I'd give you a free ticket to that game, would you take me up on that? This, by the way, is not a contest. This is not an offer. I am not paying your way to New York City. But if somebody came across the old ticket oak, right, from the StubHub commercials, tickets fell into your lap, and you had the choice of you could try to use them or you could just recycle them or pin them on your refrigerator or tell your friends that you went to the game but not go. What would it take to get you to go out there? 319-366-1600, because we're finding out it's going to take a lot of coaxing. And most people are content to say, you know what? Bowl games are expensive. Usually at least $1,000 by the time that you take into account travel, especially if you're flying, airfare and hotel. Hotel alone in New York City, if you're there for more than 2 days, you're going to be in the whole $600-$700, unless you're staying way outside of the city. And then where's the fun in that? Then you got to travel in every day and travel back out. Maybe you're staying on Long Island, taking the Long Island Railroad in.
0723 said 7,500 tickets in Nashville would have been gone in a week.
I think so, too.
Absolutely. I was talking to...
maybe not a week, but they would have moved.
I was talking to somebody while I was getting the oil changed in my car today, a guy named Jim who listens to the show, who said that he would have gone to Nashville if they would have played in the Music City Bowl. And another person that I chatted with, somebody that I know, booked some rooms in Nashville at the Opryland Hotel. Called to cancel them when finding out that the bowl game was going to be in New York. And the lady who was taking his call at the hotel said, "Well, you're from Iowa. We're getting a lot of these calls today." So people were really set on Nashville for a lot of reasons. And I think that the disappointment of not going is even adding to even less tickets being sold in New York.
I got it. Yeah. KGYM gets a bus. We buy a bunch of tickets. We take people there, and then they just come on the show December 28th and tell us how miserable they were on the entire trip. December 28th, the same day that hopefully there is a Todd Brommelkamp show, because I will be coming back from Newark into the Midwest and then hopefully on the air that day. 427. We'll step aside, take a quick break. We come back. There is a lot of news to get to today. Kyle's going to have as much of it as he could possibly cover for you on your first big board update. John Walters, play-by-play voice, the Iowa State Cyclones, with us at the bottom of the hour as well. Back after this.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Beat the Christmas shopping crowds this holiday season and start your shopping at Siegel's. Get jewelry at 40 to 75% off retail savings. This sale includes our entire stock of new and estate jewelry, diamonds, watches, tennis bracelets, gold and sterling. No interest layaway and Synchrony financing available. Visit our family-owned and operated store located on First Avenue, one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Someone called to say that they would go to the Pinstripe Bowl even if it was in a blizzard, which there very well could
be. Call them a fair weather
fan. Who knows what the weather is going to be like on December 27th.
Hopefully it's not like it was in Buffalo yesterday for the Bills game. That would be unfortunate.
That field goal was tremendous. Did you see the
field goal
that curved its way back in? 429, let's send it over to Kyle. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was named the Lott Impact Trophy Award winner yesterday, which goes to the nation's best defensive impact player. Today, both he and cornerback Josh Jackson were named first-team All-Americans by the Associated Press and the Football Writers Association. And combined with their selections from the Walter Camp Foundation, both of those guys are now technically consensus All-Americans. Hawkeye safety Brandon Snyder was arrested over the weekend and faces a charge for driving under the influence. That happened early Sunday morning, and Coach Kirk Ferentz says the team is aware of the incident, though no definitive discipline has been reported yet. Iowa basketball snapped its four-game losing streak yesterday against Southern University, 91-60. Luka Garza had a strong game off the bench, leading the team with 23 points and 13 rebounds. Isaiah Moss and Jack Nungy also hit double digits, but maybe the most notable performance was the debut of freshman Connor McCaffrey, who chipped in 5 points, 4 assists, with only 1 turnover and 3 rebounds. On the other end of the spectrum, Iowa State moved its winning streak to 7 straight with a win over Alcorn State yesterday, 78-58. Donovan Jackson led with 25, Lindell Wigginton had 16, and Cameron Lard had a 15-point, 11-rebound double-double. Cyclones are now 7-2. Tonight after our show, we'll have the Cyclone Call-In Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and when that wraps up, we'll join the Patriots and Dolphins on Monday Night Football. We're also going to have Washington, Iowa traveling to Iowa City Liberty for boys basketball beginning at 7:30 on our North and South Gym FM frequencies.
And it hasn't been officially announced yet, but the Twin Cities media outlets reporting that the Colonels have their new manager for the 2018 season, Toby Gardenhire. Name sound familiar. He's the son of Detroit Tigers manager, former Twin skipper Ron Gardenhire. He's been a college coach for about 5 years, I think, at Wisconsin Stout at the D3 level, and last year was a coach at the AAA level. He's going to be managing the Colonels next year. Brian Dinkelman and J.P. Martinez return as the hitting coach and pitching coach. January 17th, Colonels Hot Stove Banquet. Tickets available now, colonels.com. You can learn more at kgymradio.com as well. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, set to join us next.
This bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Linder Tire Service, right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Traveling to see family and friends is one of the best parts of this season. So stay road ready with a set of new tires by GT Radial from Linder Tire. They'll keep you rolling safely through the holidays. Right now, Linder Tire is offering an instant rebate of $40 on a set of 4-passenger or light truck GT Radial tires. And let Linder Tire's auto maintenance keep your battery charged and brakes in shape throughout winter, too. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Ride on their reputation for integrity and excellent service. LinderTire.com.
Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This is what you need to know. The Eagles will be without star quarterback Carson Wentz the remainder of the season. An MRI revealed the NFL MVP favorite has a torn ACL, so Philadelphia turns to Nick Foles. For the Eagles to succeed with Foles, they can't let him be the center of the offense, advises ESPN's Lewis Riddick.
They get away from the run, teams get a beat on him and start rushing the passer, sending extra players after him. He doesn't have Carson's kind of escapability. He doesn't have Carson's kind of change the launch point type of mobility, meaning get out on the perimeter and throw the football. He's not that guy. Mm-hmm. So he needs to stay really within the confines of the offense, which means balance.
Patriots clinched the AFC East for a 9th straight year with a win over the Dolphins on Monday Night Football, 8:30 Eastern, ESPN TV. Baseball at his introductory news conference. Yankees outfielder Giancarlo Stanton said, He met with Marlins CEO Derek Jeter and let him know he did not want to be part of a rebuild. Also said there was no structure with the Marlins. There was a different direction every spring and a different manager every spring. NBA, Boston's Kyrie Irving will not play tonight in Chicago because of a bruised quad.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you three. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Three ways you could save 15% or more. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free when you text the word SIZE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text SIZE to 797979. Text SIZE to 797979.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
AutoZone presents Max Performance. AutoZone knows better engine performance means taking it to the max. Max fuel economy, max engine life, and yeah, max savings. And it all starts with the right fuel treatment. That's why right now you can save on STP gas treatment and get two for $5. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. Must buy two. Restrictions and details in the store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome back in. 4:36 as we make our way toward the top of the hour. Don't forget, Mac McCausland will be with us to kick off the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little Hawkeye hoops as Iowa getting back into the win column after losing four in a row. They beat Southern 91-60 yesterday at Carver Hawkeye Arena. But we move from Hawk talk to the Cyclones. Iowa State also shaking off a little bit of the rust. That's a tough, tough game to play right before finals and Sunday, not a whole lot of people in the arena, and it took them a while to get going, but they eventually pulled away and beat Alcorn State by 20 yesterday. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, is with us. His appearance sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. And I pretty much set the table there, didn't I, John? Slow start, not much of an atmosphere. Once you kind of remember that you're supposed to be playing a basketball game, and the team kind of wakes up and then wound up getting the job done yesterday.
Yeah, you know, they got down 14-5 right out of the chute. And, Alcorn State, I don't think it missed a shot. I think they were 4-4 from the floor and it hit a couple threes. And once Iowa State kind of settled down and got in a decent groove, they played pretty well. They still trailed most of the first half. But a late play right before halftime, when Alcorn State shot the ball with about 6 on the shot clock or on the game clock, and could have held it for the last shot and had at least a couple point lead. But Iowa State got the rebound, got it down to Cameron Lard, and he dunked it right at the buzzer. I think that sent Iowa State to the locker room with some pretty positive momentum, and then they really picked it up from there. And it ended up being, over the course of two halves, I think a 13-0 run. So that pretty much put the game away. But you're right. That's pretty typical for those pre-Christmas non-conference games at home when you're not facing a big-name opponent. It's not uncommon for it to be a little bit tighter than people anticipate, and then you eventually find a way to get the job done, and that's pretty much exactly what happened.
Let's talk about Nick Weiler-Babb for a second and kind of exclude the first half from yesterday's game with those four turnovers, but from the point guard position, has his efficiency, not only scoring but also distributing the basketball, been the most pleasant surprise of the season so far?
Well, I think so. You know, I mean, I think Nick was a guy that always kind of deferred to the older guys in the past, and now he's kind of taking the bull by the horns, and they've asked him to, you know, and to be the point guard and be the primary distributor, and he's comfortable in that role. You know, he told us last week that he really had been a point guard all his life. He just kind of had a growth spurt, you know, and got maybe pigeonholed as more of a small forward type in the past, but this is his most comfortable position, and it looks like it. You know, when you watch him play it, it makes sense, and he's very, very unselfish, and so guys are getting good looks as a result of that, and plus he's a nightmare. I mean, he's almost 6'6", I would say, and that's a real problem for, you know, 6', 6'1", point guards on the opposition to deal with, and so he can see over the top of a defense. He can score it himself. He's unselfish, as I mentioned, and he really shares the basketball well. So things have flowed very well since he's moved to that spot, and obviously that goes hand in hand with Iowa State winning 7 in a row.
What has Steve Prohm been most impressed about with his development since he made the installation there?
Well, you know, it's funny because I think Steve raised some eyebrows 2 years ago, you know, when he was asked about the pro potential of the guys on the team, and they had all these guys that ended up, you know, playing professional basketball, and he said the guy with the most pro potential is Nick Weiler-Babb, and everybody kind of looked at each other like, is he serious? I mean, you know, a guy that hardly played at all at Arkansas, and then came to Iowa State and sat out as a redshirt and, you know, was kind of a quiet guy, and then last year, just kind of, as I mentioned, deferred to the older guys, and so I think Steve saw this coming a lot earlier than the rest of us did, but you know, I think if you asked him, it's just bringing out that personality that he has of, you know, he would like to always pass first, but I think Coach Prohm would like him to score some, you know, and Nick, the 10 assists a game, I'm sure, what he enjoys the most, and Coach Prohm would say, hey, that's great, but let's make sure to get those 12 to 15 points a game too, because Nick's a very capable scorer, and he's able to get past defenders frequently and can finish very well. And so I think they want him to have even more of a score-first mentality, but that's a good problem to have. You'd rather reel a guy in a little bit than, you know, than have to bring it out. And so I think this is a good situation. I think Nick is going to continue to make his teammates happy, make unselfish plays, and then when there's nights that he has to score, he will. But I think it's a healthy thing for the entire basketball team.
Is Donovan Jackson going to need to be a high volume aggressive shooter night in and night out for this team to be successful?
I think yes, and I don't think he'll shy away from that, you know, role. Donovan loves to shoot it. He's very good at creating his own shot, even though he's only about 6'1". You know, he's very, very good at the crossover dribble and the jab step to create some space and get his jump shot off. And on top of that, he's getting better and better coming off ball screens and catching and shooting too. And they need him to shoot it a lot. You know, I mean, he's a guy that can score in big numbers, and he can change a game in a hurry. We saw that yesterday. We've seen it several times this season where he heats up, and then all of a sudden a game goes from, you know, being close and anybody's ball game to Iowa State up 10 and kind of putting it away. And that's what he's capable of. He can do that in a flurry, and they need him to shoot the basketball. He's really good when he gets to the free throw line too. He's the Big 12's best free throw shooter. So they need to find ways to get him in a position to score. It only helps everybody else on the team.
John Walters, play-by-play voice, the Iowa State Cyclones, with us every Monday. His appearance sponsored by Craig Adamson. What's this week like for the team as they focus on school and have to look forward to the Hy-Vee Classic? And this looks like a pretty tough draw with UNI this year. Panthers are playing really well, as they tend to do.
Yeah, they tend to do that, and you know, in the post game yesterday, we talked to Coach Prohm about it, and you know, I basically said, "If you beat these guys, it's probably your best win, don't you think?" And he said, "Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when you think about the fact they've beaten some of the teams they've beaten, UNLV and North Carolina State, and you know, he listed off four or five really good wins that they've had, and we all know they're well coached. That's no secret in this state. They do things extremely efficiently, and so it would be really good if Iowa State could find a way to win this game. It's going to be a challenge, and they tend to play really well at Wells Fargo Arena, whether they're playing Iowa State or Iowa. They have played very well in that arena, and so I think the Cyclones have to be ready on Saturday. But you know, in answer to your question, this week is schoolwork first. It's finals week, and they have to make sure they concentrate on that. But later in the week, they'll install their Northern Iowa stuff, and it's just kind of a quiet week. There's not a lot going on except for those final exams. So, you know, Coach Prohm is hoping that if there is some extra time where those guys don't have anything going on, that they'll get themselves in the gym and get some extra work. But, you know, the season's going to get really hectic really quick. But coming up here over the next 3 weeks, you kind of have that weird period where things are kind of quiet, and you have the finals, and then all of a sudden you don't have school at all, and your games are still spread out because of the holidays. And it's a time where you can really get some extra work in individually, and hopefully players take advantage of that.
Now, John, I don't think it's any secret with this Iowa State team. It's a mixture of youth and inexperienced older guys, but how much of a test for this Iowa State team is UNI? That this is one of those prototypical Ben Jacobson teams, an older team that frustrates high-level offenses because of the defense that they played. Is this kind of a litmus test for this young Iowa State team?
I think it is. You know, I mean, it's not just the defense they play. It's the offense they play. It's, you know, they're so sound in everything they do, and they're going to make you earn it. They're going to make you guard them for 35 seconds, and that is a challenge. You know, you've got to be this is probably a game where, as much as Iowa State would love to force 15 or 20 turnovers and run off those turnovers and get out in transition, chances are good it's going to be a half-court game, and you're going to have to execute in the half-court, and that's where, you know, that's right in UNI's wheelhouse to out-execute somebody in the half court. And so Iowa State has to be wary of that and do a great job being patient offensively, waiting for good shots to develop, making the extra pass. And, you know, I think when you do those things, you can get some pretty good looks, but it's not easy. They're going to make you work for everything. And so, yeah, for sure, this will be a real test for Iowa State in that regard.
I would ask how things are going with Liberty Bowl preparations, but we know from Jamie Pollard's Twitter account, Iowa State's pretty much sold out of its ticket allotment. Have you seen anything like the buzz for this game before, John? It just seems like Iowa State fans are clamoring to get to Memphis.
Yeah, I think the fans are excited. You know, the allotment sold out in three days, which was outstanding. And then they're hoping to get another 10,000 or so fans in the stadium because each school got 15,000. They each sold out their allotment, and then there was another 25,000 that the sales happened before the bowl teams were announced. And so, you know, the people in Memphis buy those tickets, and there's some hope that maybe Iowa State fans can get their hands on some of those, and you could have maybe a 50-50 split in that stadium. It's going to be really an electric environment with a full house and lots of energy. I think it's going to be unlike a lot of other bowl games that are pre-Christmas, or I should say pre-New Year's. But it's going to be fun. And Iowa State fans like a party, and Beale Street's a good place to have a party. And so they're going to get down there in big numbers and enjoy it. And I think more than anything, guys, they just are excited to watch this football team play again. So I think if you're trying to figure out what's the difference between the buzz for this bowl game and the last time, you know, last time Iowa State went down there, they had a ton of fans. They had a great turnout for their game with Tulsa. You know, the Insight Bowl, they've always traveled well down to that game. There's really very few examples where Iowa State fans have not traveled well. But what's the difference this year? I think the difference is that they're just so excited about this team, about watching this group of guys play again. That's what they're fired up about. And so I think the trip has the same amount of buzz that it usually does, but the game itself has more buzz than usual.
All right, I've got a giant note in front of me. Call it the Courtside Show. We're officially in basketball season. What's coming up on the Courtside Show tonight, John?
Got Steve Prohm in the first 45 minutes tonight, and then Bill Fenley to follow. So Looking forward to it, and hopefully if people are in the Ames area, they can come out to Applebee's and join us.
All right, appreciate it as always, and we'll touch base with you next week looking back on the Hy-Vee Classic. Thanks, John.
Yep, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
John Walters' appearance sponsored every Monday by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. And Liberty Bowl sold out.
It's exciting.
And, yeah, just sort of in that waiting period where only bad things happen between now and bowl games, as Iowa fans found out.
Are you calling the New Orleans Bowl a bad thing?
Well, I was more referencing players getting arrested and with Brandon Snyder's situation over the weekend, which he wasn't going to be able to play in the game anyway. But that's just that's a really, really unfortunate situation, especially when you get cited right outside of the stadium at 3 in the morning. I mean, that's just it's a bad look, but as Kirk Ferentz has said in that statement, they're still looking into I don't know. There's not much you can do. I mean, he's not going to play, the rest of this year. He's not playing in the bowl game, and the future is kind of in doubt there as far as the injury goes and everything, but it's still an unfortunate look for Iowa nonetheless. We talked Cyclone basketball with John. We're going to do so a Hawkeye edition with Mac McCausland, longtime voice of the Hawkeyes, columnist, TV commentator. He's with us every Monday in the 5 o'clock hour, so get your questions into us for Mac if you have them on the Hurting and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. LowTUSA.com is a website that you should check out if you feel like you could possibly be suffering from low testosterone. Every man has testosterone in their body. Problem is, sometimes those levels dip a little bit low. It's not exactly anything that's life-threatening, but it can affect the quality of your life. Less energy, a little extra belly fat, that spare tire, however you want to call it. Maybe you've got some performance issues, to speak PC. A number of things can tie back all to low testosterone and your testosterone levels. Well, there are natural, safe ways to get those testosterone levels back up, and the folks at Mantality have made it their mission in life to help guys increase their testosterone. Testosterone replacement therapy, that's what I'm talking about. It's covered by insurance. You're dealing with actual doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners. They've got a new clinic in North Liberty right between Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. They are taking appointments right now, and you can make one by going to LowTUSA.com. And thank you very much, Mantality, for your support of KGYM and the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. 4:50, we'll step aside, take a quick break. We come back, another big board update, and more on the way.
You know what makes a great retirement plan? A great tax plan. Do you have one? I'm Craig Adamson with True Wealth Stewardship. Let's get together and draw up a comprehensive tax plan that makes the most of the money you've worked so hard for this year. Visit TrueWealthStewardship.com to learn more. Then contact me, and we'll huddle up before December 31st.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor member, FINRA SIPC. Financial planning offered through True Wealth Stewardship, a registered investment advisor, and a separate entity from LPL Financial.
Hi, I'm Douglas Hass. Are you wasting time worrying about timekeeping and scheduling instead of calling the plays for your business? The pros at Future Systems can handle all of your scheduling and timekeeping needs. With web-based timekeeping, your team can clock in whether they're at home or away. And when you add integrated scheduling, you can avoid a penalty flag for having too many players on the field. Call the All-Americans at Future Systems today at 800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
The baseball winter meetings underway in Orlando, Florida. Orlando. Everything comes back to Orlando, doesn't it, Alex?
No. Can we just not have everything come back to Orlando,
They're
please?
At the Disney Resort, though.
I wonder if the water is contaminated.
The most magical place on Earth. Is that where you were at?
No.
I didn't think so.
No. Yeah. I was somewhere over that direction, though. It was supposed to be a nice hotel, but it wasn't.
The winter meetings are just, you would think as a baseball fan that the winter meetings would be the coolest experience ever. And I went one year, accompanied my wife. It was the year they were in Las Vegas. And while it is really cool to occasionally bump into somebody in the hallway and be like a little starstruck, oh, hey, it's Frank Robinson, who at the time was managing the Nationals, or I ran into Tony La Russa in his sweatpants going to play blackjack. It's just, it's really a sad amalgamation of 20-something recent college graduates begging for jobs.
At no cost, basically.
Yeah.
High cost to travel there, get jobs that pay minimum wage. Yeah.
And
I thought about doing it, and I didn't think it was a...
You chose wisely, as they said in the third Indiana Jones movie. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was named the Lott Impact Trophy Award winner yesterday, which goes to the nation's best defensive impact player. Today, both he and cornerback Josh Jackson were named first-team All-Americans by the Associated Press and the Football Writers Association. To take that, combined with their selections from the Walter Camp Foundation, Jackson and Jewell are both technically consensus All-Americans. Hawkeye safety Brandon Snyder was arrested over the weekend and faces a charge for driving under the influence. That happened early Sunday morning, and Coach Kirk Ferentz says the team is aware of the incident, though no definitive discipline has been reported yet. Iowa basketball snapped its four-game losing streak yesterday against Southern University, which is from Baton Rouge, 91-60. Luca Garza had a strong game off the bench, leading the team with 23 points and 13 rebounds. Isaiah Moss and Jack Nungy also hit double digits, but maybe the most notable performance was the debut of freshman Connor McCaffrey, who chipped in 5 points, four assists with only one turnover, and three rebounds. On the other end of the spectrum, Iowa State moved its winning streak to 7 straight with a win over Alcorn State yesterday, 78-58. Donovan Jackson led with 25, Lindell Wigginton had 16, and Cameron Lard had a 15-point, 11-rebound double-double. The Cyclones are now 7-2. Tonight after our show, we'll have the Cyclone call-in show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. And when that wraps up, we'll join the Patriots and Dolphins on Monday Night Football. We're also going to have Washington, Iowa traveling to Iowa City Liberty for boys basketball beginning at 7:30 on our North and South Gym FM frequencies.
The Demons of Washington, they were always tough to play when I was at DeWitt. We crossed paths with them in a number of different sports. What was your reaction when you saw or first heard the rumblings that Giancarlo Stanton was possibly going to be a Yankee?
That was fast, by the way. It was.
They're kind of talking.
I was surprised, but then I heard that Derek Jeter was so desperate to move him, and when I found out that most of the deal that they were going to be making with the Yankees was going to be centered around cash consideration and not prospects, then I thought it was all but a done deal.
Now, there seems to be a big gulf between how the Yankees view the two prospects that they sent the Marlins and what the Marlins actually think of them. Gary Denbow came to the Marlins from the Yankees, and so he's got a pretty good idea. He's one of the behind-the-scenes guys in the front office with Derek Jeter and the Marlins. He's got a pretty good knowledge of that farm system, and this could be a similar situation to, and I don't want to draw complete parallels here, but when Dallas Green went from Philadelphia to Chicago in the early 80s, he had a really good knowledge of the players that were in the Phillies farm system, and so when they were working out this Ivan DeJesus, Larry Boa deal, he said, hey, the Sandberg kid, and you throw him in the deal. And the guys that were running things in Philadelphia said, yeah, okay. So if a guy comes to another organization, he's got good knowledge, a good grasp of those guys. Now, these are low rung. They're a long way from the majors, but we'll wait and see. Of course, this was a cash dump by the Marlins, and they're not done yet.
No.
They're not done yet. Gordon's gone. Stanton's gone.
Marcell
Stanton,
Ozuna.
Today, Yelich, Ozuna. We're going to talk a little bit about this coming up in hour number two, but Giancarlo Stanton went scorched earth on previous and current Marlins management. He didn't exactly do a whole lot to sell season tickets for the team that he's leaving behind. Now, his new team, I think there's definitely some interest in Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton.
I don't think they're going to have to work real hard to sell tickets to that.
And I don't think Didi Gregorius is going to have to bat fourth much longer either. Mac McCausland joins us next. Stick around. KGYM back after this.